rehearse what happened in the prior portion of this chapter. Ben-Hadad and his army came up with overwhelming odds against Israel, and God gave Ahab, the king of Israel, victory. And as I mentioned to you, one of the amazing things about that is that Ahab is already known to be a wicked and idolatrous king. One of the shocking things as we go through this chapter is that in a couple of weeks when we get to chapter 21, even after God has given Ahab victory, he still does something incredibly wicked. And it's a sad story. I'm not looking forward to that part of it, but it's the story of Naboth and the vineyard. And we'll get there when we get there. But right now we're going to look at 1 Kings chapter 20 and begin just in a moment in verse 22. Now, the Bible is given to us to teach us principles of how God works through us. And there's a principle here, and you'll see it pretty clearly here in just a minute, that Ben-Hadad, the king of Syria, has some servants. And these fellows say, and it's just typical of the world, they say, you know, that God of Israel, he's a God of the hills. I don't know where they got that idea from, but last time we fought in the hills and we lost. Maybe if we had the very same army, and it was a big army, and we could fight in the valley, they call it the plain here in just a minute, but if we could fight down low, you know, their God, he's a God of the hills. He's not a God of the plain. And they just can't understand how they could have lost. And so what you're going to see is they put the very same size army together, and here they come again. And I thought to myself when I read that, I sure hope 2021 is not the same as 2020. but if it was, could God get us through?
Amen.
Amen. The Bible says that in the latter times that the love of many shall wax cold, and we see that happening. Folks that don't love the Lord like they used to and like they ought to and fade away, and then we know that evildoers are going to become worse and worse. The Bible says they're going to wax worse and worse, and that's happening as well. And to the point to where it's in some parts of our nation, I'd be afraid to live there. And I praise the Lord. I do not feel fearful living in Phoenix. I know there's some areas of Phoenix you should pay attention in, but I don't feel fearful living here. But folks, I'm afraid to say it, but you know, I don't think we've seen anything yet compared to what's going to happen, especially if the Lord tarries. And our security is not in our city. Our security is in our God.
Amen.
So as we look at this, and I'll read it here in just a minute to you, just you're going to see that, and you know this, the enemy doesn't give up easily. Satan doesn't give up easily. In your life and in mine, when Satan fights against us and God gives us the victory, you'd like to think, okay, that was a really bad one and God gave me the victory. Now there won't be any more like that. There are going to be battles. Amen?
Amen.
Not sure how to think about that. Not excited about it maybe, but there are going to be more battles. And it's just a fact. We have an enemy. We have an adversary is the word the Bible uses, which means enemy. Satan, who he walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And you know who he'd like to devour? Any of us. And he's watching. And he's looking for an opportunity. And so don't think the battles are going to come to an end. But you know what? Just as much as Satan likes to go to war, God likes to give victory. And every time a battle or an obstacle or a trial comes along, it just gives God one more opportunity to get glory. And wouldn't it be great? We could stand before the Lord one day, having been faithful to him and having him give us the victory and made us overcome and time again and be a trophy. And we could say, you know what? Here I am. I am proof of the fact that God is faithful. Because as many times as Satan came along, God came along bigger. And God came along and delivered. And God came along and gave the victory. And we can have that. I'm not just saying this. I believe with all my heart that God gives us victory And if we'll let him, he will give us victory. And it may not always look the way we think it ought to look, but in the end, it's going to be what God wants it to be. So there's going to be continued battles. And just like Ben-Hadad, there is eventually an end to this. And we're going to see that here coming up next week. He lost that battle back in the early part of this chapter, but he wasn't defeated. And so stand with me for the reading of God's word. And I'll read these verses here in 1 Kings chapter 20, beginning in verse 22. We'll go down to verse 30. Bible says, the prophet came to the king of Israel, that's Ahab, and said unto him, go, strengthen thyself, and mark, and see what thou doest. For at the return of the year, the king of Syria will come up against thee. And the servants of the king of Syria said unto him, their gods are gods of the hills. Therefore they were stronger than we, but let us fight against them in the plain. And surely we shall be stronger than they. And do this thing. Take the kings away, every man out of his place, and put captains in their rooms, and number thee an army, like the army that thou hast lost, horse for horse and chariot for chariot. And we will fight against them in the plain, and surely we will be stronger than they. And he hearkened unto their voice and did so. And it came to pass at the return of the year that Ben-Hadad numbered the Syrians and went up to Aphek to fight against Israel. And the children of Israel were numbered and were all present and went against them. And the children of Israel pitched before them like two little flocks of kids, but the Syrians filled the country. And there came a man of God and spake unto the king of Israel and said, thus saith the Lord, because the Syrians have said, the Lord is God of the hills, but he is not God of the valleys. Therefore will I deliver all this great multitude into thine hand, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. And they pitched one over against the other 7 days. And so it was that in the seventh day the battle was joined, and the children of Israel slew of the Syrians 100,000 footmen in one day. But the rest fled to Aphek into the city, and there a wall fell upon 27,000 of the men that were left. And Ben-Hadad fled and came into the city into an inner chamber. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, we come before you tonight, and Lord, as we see this victory in the Bible, it's one thing for us to read about a victory that you gave to your people many years ago, but Lord, we're asking you to give us victory. We ask you to give us victory in many different ways. I pray for Eva as she faces a tremendous physical struggle, that you'd give her a victory and bring her back to health so that she can serve you. And Lord, along the way, I pray that you'd bless Carlos and protect him and give him a victory as well. Lord, we think of the coming year and the many things we're endeavoring to accomplish for you. We would pray for a successful missions conference. We thank you that you were such a blessing to us in the past year. Our missions giving was even above what we had committed, and we thank you for that. Thank you that we've been faithful to our missionaries, and I pray that we could add to that missionary family group even maybe this next month. Lord, I pray for our evangelistic efforts as we have souls that we would like to reach, and pray that you give us victory there. We pray for our bus ministry, which has been suspended because of the virus and other complications, that you'd allow us to restore that and get it back up and running and bring in new children. We pray for our school as we begin a new semester tomorrow. Lord, there are many struggles and trials there, and I pray you'd give us victory in those areas as well. But Lord, help us to keep our eyes on you and not on the situation. Help us not to look at the numbers, not to look at whether or not we seem to be overwhelmed, but help us just to turn our eyes upon you and remember that it doesn't matter what the numbers are, you can give victory. I thank you that you've allowed us to assemble here again tonight, and I pray you'd bless this time in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. Well, you read the story, and I like a couple of things right offhand here. And in verse 22, folks, God knows what's coming. Amen. At the beginning of this last year, who would have guessed? Who would have guessed it would have been the kind of year that it was? But God knew. And when God sees fit and when it's appropriate for him to do so, he prepares us for the things ahead. It's kind of funny. Sometimes I'll have a situation to where, with Vacation Bible School this year, we had a really hard time getting things lined up back in the spring. We would normally do our Vacation Bible School in June. And then just nothing was coming together. And couldn't get a speaker lined up. And now I know why. We didn't need a speaker in June. We needed a speaker in September or October, whenever that was. And sometimes God knows always knows, but sometimes he'll prepare us in ways so that when the opposition comes, we're ready for it. And just don't worry. God's never been surprised yet. There is no panic phone in heaven. God knows long before things happen. And look at what he says in verse 22. It kind of goes along with this morning just a little bit. He says, "Go strengthen thyself and mark and see what thou doest." And he tells him why, because the Syrian king is going to return. But he says, what I want you to do is to be strong. Folks, we need to be prepared. How can I be strong, Pastor? Get as close to God as you can and stay there. Believe God's promises. You say, well, Pastor, it just doesn't seem to be working. God's not finished yet. Time and time and time again, we see the situation looks hopeless, as it did here and as it did earlier in the chapter. It looked hopeless, but with God, it's never hopeless. And so strengthen thyself. How many times in the Bible do we read that? I think of Joshua. And when Moses gave Joshua the charge from God, he said, "Be strong and of a good courage." And, you know, it's easy to be strong and courageous when the odds are in your favor. You know, when I was in the Army, I talked to you about that. We had different exercises. And when you knew you outnumbered the enemy substantially, yeah, pretty confident. But when you're overwhelmed by the opposition, it's kind of hard to be strong. It's harder to be strong then, but not with God. So be strong, he says. Go strengthen thyself and mark. See what thou doest. Pay attention. Don't relax. Folks, like I said this morning, it's not time to quit yet. Still more race to run. There's still more battle to fight. The enemy is not finished, and so we can't be either. And so back in at the end of that verse, he says in verse 22, the reason you need to be strong and pay attention to what you do is because he's going to come against you again. Now, in verse 23, we switch scenes here and we go over to the Syrian army. And just as much as God knows and God comforts his people, God sees what the enemy is doing. And you've heard that statement, "I'd like to be a fly on the wall." Well, the Lord's right here, and he lets you and I join in what was probably a very confidential, a very closed conference that they're having in Syria. And the question is, what do we do now that we've been defeated? And don't want to be too repetitive here, but you know what? They didn't decide to quit, did they? I figure if the enemy doesn't decide to quit, we shouldn't either. Amen? Amen? And so in verse 23, the servants of the king of Syria, who are not very good servants, by the way, because of they don't know the Lord, but anyway, they say, you know, their gods are gods of the hills, and we need to fight against them in the plain, and surely we shall be stronger than they. I mentioned this morning, I kind of feel sorry for Ben-Hadad. But I feel sorry for anybody that's not on God's side. You know, some people in the world have a hope in whatever it might be, and it's a false hope. And people that don't know the Lord, maybe they hope in their money or they hope in their ability, or there are people that are hoping. I guarantee you there are people that are hoping that our government is going to deliver them. And I just want you to know something. The government is not who you need to deliver you. God needs to deliver you. Amen? If you're trusting in the government to deliver you, you got the wrong trust. And these folks here, they say, we are experts. We know all the angles. We know all the strategies here. And it's just got to be that we're fighting in the wrong place. Doesn't matter where the devil attacks you, God can defend you. Amen? Doesn't matter where the devil attacks, it doesn't mean he's going to have victory. So in verse 24, they say, you know what you need to do? First of all, get these kings out of the way and put some captains in their place. In other words, you need some good leadership. And so don't let the kings lead these armies. Let's put some men that are military men in the place. And then get you an army in verse 25, just like the one you had. Man for man, horse for horse, chariot for chariot. And we're going to be fighting them in the plain. This time we're going to be stronger. And he, Beth-ben-Hadad, says, you know, let's do that. So at the return of the year, and the new year came, and here we go again. We're in a new year right now. The enemy, Ben-Hadad, numbered the Syrians, and they went up to Aphek to fight against Israel. Now, it doesn't matter what the attack is. The Lord can deliver. And I don't know what we're going to face in 2021, but I do know this. God knows, and God can give us the victory. And I would like to think maybe 2021 would just be a year of blessings. There are times like that, aren't there? And Paul saw that. You see in the ministry in Paul's life, he would go through some trials, and then he would see some great success. And wouldn't that be great if we just saw soul after soul saved this year? And really, really made a difference in our neighborhood and in our city, and God blessed our church. God can do that. Until he does, let's just stay faithful. And you say, well, you know, Pastor, I've been faithful and it doesn't seem to be doing any good. Oh, I beg to differ with you. What about the souls that got saved last year? Amen. Interesting thing today, Carlos was talking to me, and I don't know if you all remember, I think most of you do, but back in the spring when they suggested that we not assemble in large groups, what we did, if you weren't here at that time, most of you were, but what we did is we said, you know what? I thought to myself, and I think the Lord gave me this, I thought, you know, I'm just going to go to church and preach. Amen. And if some folks want to come listen, praise God, let them come along. And we recorded those and we put them on YouTube. And we did that for, I don't know, 6 or 8 weeks. If you want to see Greg Dahlman leading singing, it's on YouTube. Amen. And if you want to see some preaching, it's on YouTube. So today, Carlos says to me, he says, you know, we're sitting here in this rehab center in Denver. And he says, I've got my computer here. He said, I heard you have some things on YouTube. Amen. Praise the Lord. I do. And if you search for Vision Baptist Church, you're going to find them. And yeah, you could watch a sermon right there in your room on YouTube today if you wanted to. And that's just the way God works. Amen. He uses one situation to prepare you for another. It's a small thing, but I'm sure glad those are out there. And, of course, we also have all sorts of audio. I think just about every message we've ever preached here in this church is on the website, not to mention a lot of good guest speakers. And, oh, by the way, I'm looking forward to the missions conference because we got some good speakers. This fellow that I just read to you about, he's going to be tremendous. He's been in the ministry a long time. If you've heard Bob Larson, he's got a nice booming voice, and he's going to be with us. The other fellow is going to India, and I don't know how much you know about India, but we supported a missionary to India when we were in Maryland. It's a rough place, and if you plan on going to India, you better be strong and be courageous. And so I'm looking forward to hearing some good preaching there. Folks, preaching the Bible is what the world needs. So anyway, back to this, they get ready to fight the battle. And as I said, just because the enemy is overwhelming, which they are, in verse 27, God points out the odds again. He says, you know, the children of Israel, they looked like two little flocks of kids. You know, kids are goats. And I think of that not just in terms of size, but they probably weren't the most organized army. It's kind of running around trying to figure out what's going on. You ever feel that way? Folks, God knows what's going on. Just be ready to fight when the time comes and let God put you in the right place. The Syrians filled the country. Isn't that true today? Satan's people fill the country. And they got a lot more of them than we have of us, except they're missing one thing. We have the Lord on our side. So the odds are terrible, and that's okay. They've been terrible before, and God gave victory. And now look at verse 28. So There came a man of God, and he spake to the king of Israel. And he said, thus saith the Lord. Now, anytime you see that phrase in the Bible, thus saith the Lord, that we already knew it was God's word, but that's just a reinforcement. And folks, when God said it, that settles it. My God shall provide all your needs according to his riches and glory. Amen? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Pick a verse, any verse. The Bible's full of those. And the Lord, when he speaks, you can count on that. You say, but Pastor, the odds are far against me. That's okay. When the Lord speaks, forget the odds. The situation looks hopeless. That's okay. When the Lord speaks, forget the situation. Thus saith the Lord, because the Syrians have said, the Lord is God of the hills, but he's not God of the valleys. Therefore will I deliver all this great multitude into thine hand. And look at this. We already amened it once. But ye shall know that I am the Lord. Amen. How are you going to know? Well, I believe the Bible. Amen. It sure does feel good when God answers his keeps his promises. Amen. And answers our prayer and delivers us. You know, if you stop, like we talked about this morning, if you quit running the race, you're not going to have the opportunity to see that he's the Lord. I have four children, and you know, my son Tim has been here in Arizona here for a while. My daughter Stephanie as well, and I'm twice as old as they are, and I think to myself, life's hard. And there's a lot that they're going to face that they don't know yet. And we all face some things. I've never faced some of the things that some of you have faced. I don't know of anybody here for sure, but I know I've known people that have lost children to death. That would be horrible. But we've lost loved ones. And we've seen battles and seen struggles and had, you know, financial hardship and all the rest. Life is full of trials. You better know the Lord. And you just better walk with him. And when you do that, what you're going to find out is he can get you through and he can get the glory. He says, ye shall know that I am the Lord. When you see God deliver, when nobody else could have, God did that. I've told some of you this story, so I'll be brief. But we were moving. We were trying to find a place to live. We couldn't find one. Tried. Hopeless. And then, literally, at 5 o'clock the night before, we had to have a place because our furniture was arriving at 8 a.m. the next day. We signed a lease on a duplex. And you say, well, why doesn't God just make things easy? Why does it have to be hard like that? Why does it have to come down to the last minute? And why does it have to come down to, seems like just, you know, barely, and then you get the victory? Because, you know, when those kind of things happen, you remember. Amen. And you remember God's the one that did it. Amen. When you can say, I did everything I could, and it did not work. And then you have victory, you know it came from God. It's not so bad to be in the battle, not so bad to be overwhelmed. Sure is good to know that he's the Lord. I wonder what he's going to do this year. This is a scary thought. I wonder what he's going to do this year so that we can know he's the Lord. I wonder what trial we're going to face. I wonder, how many of you have been in the hospital in the last year? Brother Gonzalez, hands up. My hand is up. Mrs. Dahlman's hands up. Another one, yeah, twice. Amen. Brenda, you've been in the hospital. Amen. Yep, a couple of times. And one of the young people, Joey, I think it was, asked me, he said, Pastor, did you think you might die? Did you think you might die, brother? No. Yeah, amen. I know I can die. I'm not the least bit worried about it. I worry about it for the sake of my wife and my family and my grandchildren that I would miss and that would miss me. But I know where I'm headed. And I'm not the least bit worried about that. And I think all of us would agree here that have been in the hospital. But I'm sure glad you all pulled through. Amen. And that we get to spend some more time serving God together. Everything you go through, When you come out, be sure and remember it's just God letting you see who he is, whatever it might be. And there'll be some more of those in 2021. I don't know what they're going to be, but we have some more chances this year for God to show us he's the Lord. He likes to do that. And I like it when he does that once I see what he does. Getting ready for that sometime can be a little bit rough. And we could tell other stories. I look around the room at many people here that have been through trials this year. And God got us through. He wants us to know he's the Lord. And I just got to remember once again, Ahab, Ahab, Ahab. He's going to turn right around and do an incredibly wicked thing in spite of the fact that he knows who the Lord is. And God's going to judge him for it, and we'll see that when the time comes. So in verse 29, they pitched over against the other. So they're lined up against each other for 7 days. And so it was. In the seventh day, the battle was joined, and the children of Israel slew of the Syrians 100,000 footmen in 1 day. That's a big victory. Wouldn't you like to see 1,000 souls get saved in the year ahead? Amen? But you know what's interesting? I did this when I left Maryland about 5 years ago. If you look at your life month by month, year by year, serving God 1 year after another, and you add up all the things God's done, you might be surprised at how much God's done with you. You know, you say, well, I remember a person getting saved a month ago, and somebody getting saved, praise the Lord, last Sunday, and somebody getting saved a little before that. And but when you add them all up, praise the Lord, he does a lot. Amen. And the 100,000 here, that's nothing with God. Here's what's interesting to me in verse 30. They ran away, they fled. But you know what? You can't run from God. And I don't know exactly how to read this number in verse 30. I don't know if that number means 7,020 or 27,000. It really doesn't matter. If a wall is able to kill thousands of men, that's a miracle of God. I had my stepfather, who sadly was not saved, was in World War II, and he wouldn't talk about it at all. And when I was a teenager, he did tell me one story, and he said they were in Germany. It was right towards the end of the war. He was in the infantry, and he and a bunch of other guys, and they were all up against this wall. And they were getting ready to run across the street. And he said he took off running first. And about the time he got to the other side of the street, he looked back and his buddies were still up against the wall. And he said an artillery round hit and just killed them all. And God spared him. And I don't know if he ever got saved. I never had a record of that, but he could have. But here we have thousands of people getting killed by a wall. Not really. It's just God delivering his people. And Israel didn't have to do a thing on that one, just trust God to deliver them. A couple of thoughts, and let's just finish up here real quick. Ben-Hadad fled, of course, into an inner chamber. Kind of interesting how he was so bold at the beginning, and now he's afraid. And I would turn that around and say this. Rather than us being afraid, let us be bold. We've got God on our side, amen? There's no reason to be afraid. So some observations. One sure way, you can see this in verse 28, to get on God's bad side is to believe he cannot do something. The thing that got the Syrians in trouble is when they said God can't deliver them in the valley. And folks, God can. Just stop right there. You can finish that sentence any way you want to. He can't lie, of course, but God can. He can deliver us in whatever comes along in 2021. And you say, well, Pastor, I just want a trouble-free year. Good luck on that. Let me know how that works out. But I would rather have a year where God solves and deals with my troubles. And the devil's going to come after us. If Ben-Hadad came back, the devil's going to come back. But God can give the victory. And don't doubt God. That's what got them in trouble when they doubted what God could do. Please don't doubt God. Even before the enemy had seen God's true strength, or actually I should say because he couldn't see God's true strength, he went up to fight. After they saw what God can do in verse 26 and in verse 30, they fled to an inner chamber. Kind of reminds me of that time where they call on the rocks to fall on them and to hide them from God. And there's going to be a day, folks, when the enemy is going to stand before God, and they're going to reckon with him. And just like you and I are going to get to reckon with him and be rewarded, that day is coming. It may not be as far away as some people think it is. So what if this next year was just as difficult as last year was? What if it was more difficult? What if what happened in California happened here, where the government said churches are not allowed to meet, and if you enter that building on Sunday morning with more than 10 people, we're going to fine you, we're going to throw you in jail or whatever? What are you going to do? Amen. Amen. I do not have a problem being prudent, and you don't have to be obnoxious and just pointedly, you know, thumb your nose at the government, even though, you know, they may have some reasonable requests. But when it comes down to coming to worship God, I'm going to come worship God. Amen. I think to myself, perhaps the Lord could come back in 2021. And when he does, will he find you and I faithful? And sadly, and I grieve for them, there are people that he won't find faithful, that they've let this last year stop them. Don't let anything stop you. Amen. The outcome of the battle is in God's hands, even before the battle is even planned. So folks, don't count on the numbers, count on the Lord. How do things look? They look as good as God. How do things look? Looks to me like we have a God that keeps his promises. Looks to me like we have a God that can do great things. Looks to me like we have a God that will let us. Think about Paul's life for a minute. It wasn't that Paul never faced any trials, but God got him through. Even when they stoned him and left him for dead, and they were convinced that he was dead, convinced enough that they turned around and walked away, God raised him up and used him for decades after that. So you may go through some trials. I know some folks have suffered this year, and some folks are still suffering, but I also know this. God's going to use that to show you that he's the Lord. Amen? And then, praise God, we'll get to see him face to face. If you could do one thing that would help you out in the year ahead, love the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Love him. Trust him. Give him first place in your life. Make him what he ought to be. Day by day, week by week, month by month. And I have no idea what's going to happen in 2021, but I do know this. Unless the Lord Jesus Christ returns, or he could take some of us to be with him before then. I trust that won't be the case, but those things happen. But unless the Lord Jesus Christ returns or takes us to be with him, a year from now, let's all be here. Amen. With some folks that got saved along the way. And you might even look around. I know today we were missing quite a few folks, and I'm sure it's a holiday weekend and some folks are traveling and so on. But you might call somebody that you've been missing today and just say, hey, you know, we missed you in church today. It's the beginning of a new year. Come on out and let's serve God together. Amen? Amen. Let's all stand and pray.